Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, this morning, let's focus ourselves on our friend Gideon once again. We've been studying this, and I know we took a break last week, but I wanted to get us back into Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7, studying Gideon. And this morning, I want to talk about role models. Role models are an important part of everybody's life. We all have had role models, right? If you dig into each and every one of our lives, the way we act, sometimes even the way you talk, sometimes the way you make your decisions, it probably can be linked back to a role model in your life. Even if you don't even realize it, somebody's been role modeling in your life and you're doing what you do because you saw somebody else who you trust role model that behavior for you. Role models can have a positive impact in our lives, but role models can also have a negative impact in our lives. And unfortunately, we see a lot of that in our society where we tend to role model the wrong people with the wrong behaviors and the wrong actions. And then we wonder why, you know, things are the way they are in society. So they can be positive, they can be negative. It all has to do with who we choose as our role models. It all has to do with who we choose to allow to be a role model in our lives. When I was in college, one of my significant role models was the guy who gave me my first job in radio. And I've told you about Ron before in the past. I've mentioned him before. He was in his late 50s when I met him. He wasn't just a disc jockey. He was a community icon in Mount Vernon, Ohio. For decades, people woke up in the morning listening to Ron on their radios. They listened to Ron for the news, the local news. They listened to Ron for the weather forecast. The kids listened to Ron to see if school was going to be delayed. He was the voice of freedom for the children in the wintertime and for the teachers. Ron was known. He was respected. I really admired the guy because he was kind of like every man. He would go out and I would like watch him, and he would go interact with the elected officials in town, and they all had high respect and regard for him. But then you'd also see Ron like at the county fair, you know, and everybody knew him and he knew everybody, and he treated everybody like they were special. He was known by everybody, and he treated everybody like they were an important person. And he was my mentor. He was my role model. He taught me how to do the job of being a news reporter. He was the person who showed me the ropes. And several years later, when I found myself in a similar role in a different community, because if you don't know me, one of the things that I used to do way back in my past when I got out of college, I was a radio disc jockey. I was a radio news reporter, and I did like a morning show for two stations. At the same time, it was always interesting. You didn't know kind of what station you were on some of the time, but you were sitting in the same chair at the same microphone. And I would find myself in that job being confronted with situations, and I would ask myself, what would Ron do? I almost wanted to make a bracelet, WWRD. What would Ron do in this situation? Role models are people we respect. Role models are people that influence how we behave. They influence our values. They influence how we define success in our lives. And I want you to keep in mind this whole concept of role model this morning, just for the next few minutes as we talk. This week, we're continuing Gideon's character story in Judges chapter 7. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 7, we're going to be spending a lot of time in this particular chapter. Gideon, as you'll recall, he's among a series of leaders who led and helped rescue the nation of Israel as it was trying to find its way after breaking out of the chains of slavery from the nation of Egypt. For generations following Moses, the nation of Israel, even though they were free, they struggled. They just struggled to find their way. And we find Gideon's story helpful because here's this group of people who are God's people and they've been freed from captivity, but they're struggling to find their identity. They're struggling to find their way in this story. And Gideon is one of the leaders that raises up to help Israel as it's struggling to find its way. Gideon's story is a story about he journeys, remember, from hiding out in the wine press. His story starts hiding out in the wine press, and he's moving from hiding out in the wine press to becoming a hero for the ages. Somebody we're talking about today in September of 2018, his story is pretty significant. It happened thousands of years ago, and yet we're still talking about it today. So far, we've focused on Gideon's journey. He was confronting the bullies. Remember that? He's confronting the bullies that are pushing his people around. We've learned that Gideon, he started off where we found him at the beginning of his story. He was a person who had really low self-esteem. Gideon had a really low view of himself. And we saw that God, even though Gideon had very low self-esteem and he didn't think he was worth much, God saw him in that wine press and God saw the potential in Gideon. He saw the potential in his life, even potential that Gideon couldn't see himself, because he was kind of overwhelmed by the circumstances in his life. We've learned that Gideon struggled. Gideon has trust issues. We talked about how Gideon has trust issues. He was throughout his entire story, he is always testing God to see if God will actually keep the word that he said he would keep. Is God a promise keeper or not? Gideon always had trust issues. He's always throwing out little tests. Well, if you do this, then I'll do this. That's Gideon's whole story. He's this individual he's got trust issues. So often, when we study Gideon's story, we focus on chapter 7 this morning. Gideon and his famous fleece. Right? Gideon, we focus on the part of the story where Gideon, he's come to this point in his journey where he's going to test God to see if God will really, really come through and help him save Israel from the bullies, from the Midianites. Some of you know the story really well. If God will soak the dew on the fleece and keep the ground all around the fleece dry, then Gideon will know that God is good for his word. Think about a morning like today. It's soaking wet outside. And he's like, God, if you will put the dew on the fleece and keep the ground dry, then I'll take that as a sign that you're on my side. Well, God delivers on that. We read that in chapter 7 here. Very familiar part of the story. But Gideon's like, okay, God, I know you did that. But just to make sure, one more test. This time, God, if you will put the dew on the ground all around the fleece of wool, if you'll put the dew on the ground, but keep the wool dry as a bone. Keep the wool dry as a bone. If you put the dew on the ground and keep the wool dry as a bone, then I'll know for sure, double dutch for sure, that you're going to keep your word in this situation. And so he kind of throws that out and God does it. And that kind of leads us to this first point this morning in our study of Gideon. After all this time, from the wine press to going into the public square, remember Gideon went into the public square and he tore down the altar to Baal and he tore down the Asherah poles at night. Gideon, after all this time, after seeing God's faithfulness work through every single one of those steps, he still has trust issues. He still has trust issues with God. And it got me to thinking as I was looking at this passage, as long as there is a future we cannot see, amen? Anybody be able to tell the future here? Any prophesiers, future seers, any? As long as there is a future we cannot see, as long as life continues to be full of uncertainty, anybody facing uncertainty this morning in your life? Some question marks hanging out there? As long as there's a future we can't see, as long as there's uncertainty in life, we human beings, we're always going to have trust issues. That's kind of part of the human condition, trust issues. Trust issues they're really just a sign that we're finite and that we're mortal. Trust issues are just a sign that we're human. Just like we'll always be subjected to temptation in our lives, as humans, we're always going to be faced with circumstances where we're just going to have to trust God in any particular circumstance for the outcome. The test is whether we lean into our faith in God or whether we lean into doubt. You know, whether we lean into our faith that God will hold us and keep us in the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of the question marks, or whether we lean into cold sweat, heart palpitation, panic. Been there before? We're always going to have these situations where there's uncertainty. The test is whether we trust God or lean into doubt when those moments of trust issues manifest themselves. Gideon, he's learning to trust God. He's learning this hard lesson. He's learning to trust God regardless of the circumstances. All right? Every circumstance, it seems like he's got a test for God. Every episode of his life, it seems like he's got an issue where he's got to test God's faithfulness. Whether it's in the wine press, whether it's in the public square, you know, Gideon is testing God. But do you see in this story how Gideon's faith is growing? I mean, he's not in the wine press anymore. He's trusted God. He's gotten out of the wine press. The altars and the Asherah poles in the public square are not there anymore because Gideon's trusted God. He's had faith and he's kind of eased his way in his own way into it. God's allowed him to kind of figure his way into it, but he's been obedient to God. Gideon, even though he's got trust issues, his faith in God is growing throughout this story. With every situation Gideon finds himself in, it's an opportunity to flex his muscles, his faith muscles. What I want us to see this morning, and this is really elementary, it's really simple. Faith's a choice. Faith is a choice. Can you say that with me? Faith is a choice. Faith is learned. We learn how to have faith in our lives. I don't think we're born with faith. I think we're born skeptical. I think we're born not to trust. You know, it's kind of like I'll see it to believe it kind of attitude. But faith is learned. Faith is a choice. Faith is something that we cultivate over time. Faith is cultivated over time. Our faith is stretched. And as it's stretched over and over again, it gets stronger. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I've been getting up early in the morning. You know what I've been doing every morning when I've been getting up? I've been working out. I've been exercising, Pat. That's exactly right. You know, and I found that as I'm exercising, as I'm, you know, I can now do 20 push-ups straight. Anybody want to see? No, I'm not going to do it for you right now. So it was like I started this journey 3 weeks ago. I said, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to start exercising. 3 weeks ago, I couldn't do 10 push-ups. But yesterday morning, I did 20. Because every time I stretch those muscles, I get stronger. 3 weeks ago, I could do about 6 sit-ups. Just about 6. Yesterday, you want to guess?
20.
Come on, look at this. I did 40. As we stretch the muscles and contract them and use them, they get stronger and we're able to do more. And our faith is the same way. Faith is a choice. And guess what? I've had to make a choice every day to get up. And I've had to make a choice every day to do my exercises. I've had to, you know, and I'm not doing anything like brain surgery or anything like that. I'm just doing some simple things to get stronger. Again, our faith, as it's stretched over and over again, it grows, it becomes stronger. Our faith allows us to become more confident and bolder. Not bolder the rock, but bolder in your face. Our faith, it becomes stronger and bolder. The longer we follow Jesus, I think the more we learn that what started out as trust issues, because we all have trust issues, but the longer we follow Jesus, we learn that what started out as trust issues, hey, those now look like trust opportunities. Those look like opportunities to trust God. Notice how there's a little difference when you look at something as a trust issue. It's got a little bit of a negative slant to it. But instead of having the question marks that cause me stress and panic and cold sweats, trust issues, I now find those as I'm walking in my relationship with Jesus as trust opportunities. you know, I'm actually wanting to get up in the morning and exercise. It's really kind of creepy. Like, I miss it when I'm not doing it. I don't know what's happening, but I'm looking at that period of time that I'm investing. I'm looking at that now more as an opportunity than an issue I got to manage, you know? What started out as trust issues, seated in doubt, these are now becoming trust opportunities in our lives where we can flex our faith muscles and watch God go work in the corners of our lives in ways that maybe we never expected him to. This is the journey that Gideon's on. He's flexing his faith muscles. He's learning to trust God, and trust issues are becoming trust opportunities. But Gideon's story has a little bit of a twist, and I really love his story because I really think that the God we serve, he has a sense of humor. And I want you to see it this morning in Gideon's story today, because his story has a bit of a twist in Judges chapter 7. You see, Gideon, he's finally gotten to the point where he's like, yes, I'm taking this mantle of leadership for the people of Israel. And he has finally taken on this mantle of, I am going to lead the army of Israel, and we are going to go beat the Amalekites. We are going to go beat the Midianites. We are going to beat the bullies down. And he's gathered thousands and thousands of Israeli troops. The nation of Israel has unified and gathered behind Gideon to go fight the bad guys, to go fight the bullies. But while Gideon has his own expectations about the coming battle, the God of Gideon and the God we serve has a little bit something else in mind for Gideon. And we read that here in Judges chapter 7, verse 2. So if you look at Judges chapter 7, verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, Yo, Gid, because I think that's what he called him. Yo, Gid, you got too many men. You got too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left. While 10,000 remained. So you had 30,000 men. Over 30,000 men. 22,000 left. 10,000 remained. The Lord says, Yo, Gid, you still got too many. Is God messing with Gideon here just a little bit? You see the twist? Gideon, the one who's always doubting God, the one always asking for God to respond to a fleece, he now finds the tables turned. He now finds the tables turned. If Gideon were casting fleeces, he'd be asking for a sign that 32 or 45,000 men. Give me a sign, God, that 45,000 men will be enough to defeat our enemies. But instead, it's God who's the one who turns the tables and is testing Gideon in this particular set of circumstances. God says, 32,000 men are too many. Shoot, 10,000 men are too many. And over the next several verses in Judges chapter 7, God winnows down Gideon's army from 32,000 men to 300. From 32,000 to 300. Gideon's like, does anybody know where the restroom is? You know, he's just like looking. He's like, God is really stretching his faith muscles in this story. But God knew that Gideon would need some confidence. So he's like, okay, I'm giving you 300 men. And he knows that this is a real stretch for Gideon. This is like push up number 41 for me. Or sit up number 41, right? And you know, God knows that Gideon's going to need some confidence. So he offers up the opportunity for some help, because God has done this for Gideon along the way. He's offered up some help along the way to give Gideon confidence. And here's Gideon finding himself in a trust opportunity, facing the thousands of soldiers with now 300 men. God, what are you thinking? So God, he sees the stress that Gideon's under in this situation. He tells Gideon, hey, Gid. Yeah, God. You know, he's like, you know, sweat, dripping, nervous, panic. Yeah, God. He goes, hey, it's dark. Go down. I want you to sneak down just by yourself. I want you to sneak down by the enemy camp. And when you get down there, I just want you to listen. I just want you to listen. Just sneak down in the dark and listen. Go down by the enemy camp, listen. And that's where the story picks up in chapter 7, verse 13. Gideon, he sneaks down and he arrives just as a man in the camp, the enemy camp, was telling a friend his dream. Anybody have any dreams last night? Pastor Vicky and I, we were driving down and I told her, yeah, I had this really weird dream about work. I dreamed we were all on an airplane and everybody, we were on an airplane. This was a dream about my work. We were all on an airplane and we were supposed to be flying somewhere, but we were just flying in circles. And I'm like, well, that does sound like work. So we all have dreams, and I don't know what God was telling me through my dream. I've digressed there, but Gideon arrives just as the man was telling a friend his dream. And he says, I had a dream last night. He was saying, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down from the mountain into the Midianite camp. It struck the tents with such force that the tents overturned and collapsed. And his friend, his eyes popped up, and he's like, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into Gideon's hands. And at the beginning of the story, it was Gideon asking for proof of God's faithfulness, right? But here it's God offering up an opportunity to prove his faithfulness to Gideon. Do you see the difference? There's a difference between asking God to prove his faithfulness, and here God is showing Gideon that he's going to be faithful. God knew Gideon was afraid, so he said, if you're afraid, go listen to what they're saying. Gideon hears the dream, and his immediate response in chapter 7 is, as soon as he hears, surely we're going to be put into the hands of Gideon. As soon as he hears that, he worships God. He has a God moment. I think that he just had one of those moments where the hair on the back of his neck stood up, and he was like, oh, this is God confirming that he is going to be with us. So Gideon hears the dream. His immediate response is to worship God. And what I find in his life is the more obedient Gideon is to God, the more confident Gideon becomes. And I think we find this as we follow Jesus in our lives, the more we find ourselves obeying Jesus, the more confident we are going to become in our walk, the more confident you are going to become in life. Your confidence level correlates to your obedience to God. And when we're out of step with God's will for our lives, when we're disobedient, I think that we don't live in as much confidence. And we live with a lack of confidence, and we kind of live in fear, and we kind of live with sweat pouring down our face and heart palpitations and stress. But the more we're obedient to God, the more confident we become. And that happens with Gideon. The more he obeys, the more confident he becomes, the more his doubts recede. The more his doubts recede. So even so, at this critical moment, God offers a fleece to Gideon. God, notice how the story's changed. Instead of Gideon asking for a fleece from God, God offers a fleece to Gideon to prove his faithfulness, to push his servant into action. When God pushes us to move, the purpose is to build our faith and inspire us to go take on the giants. And that's what happens in this story. God is like, you needed to hear this. You needed to hear the dream interpreted. And it snapped Gideon out of his fear, and he stood up with confidence. He worshiped God because he knew God was on his side, and he was ready to go. When God calls us, folks, when we feel the voice of the Holy Spirit pushing in our lives, will we respond in obedience, or are we cowering in the wine press? Well, I kind of like my wine press here, but life could be so much better. Life could be so much better. For Gideon, this exact moment in his story is a transformative moment. He hears the dream. Something snaps in his heart. He worships God. And then in verse 15 of Judges chapter 7, Gideon immediately responds. And this is not the response of somebody who's cowering in a wine press, hiding from the bullies. Gideon says, get up. He goes to his men and he says, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camps into your hands. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. He placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. And here's the key to his whole story. From hiding in a wine press, cowering out, freaked out, stressed out, panicked, heart beating, scared in the wine press, Gideon stands up in front of the Amalekite armies and he says to his soldiers, his 300 people, he said, "Watch me do exactly what I am going to do." That's confidence. Amen? That is confidence being exuded by Gideon. Watch me. Follow my lead. And in faith, with God on their side, Gideon and his 300 soldiers, his 300 commandos, they rout the entire Midianite army. I mean, they didn't just beat them and scare them and poke them. They caused a panic within their camp. They went and they took their jars and they took their torches and they yelled and they made all sorts of noise and they scared the bejeebers out of them. They scared the snot out of this army of bullies and caused all this chaos. And the armies of the Amalekites and the Midianites, they wind up killing each other, thinking that each other's the enemy. There's confusion. It's the middle of the night. And there's just 300 Israelites making all sorts of noise outside of the camp, making them think that this army of thousands are coming. And they basically beat themselves into a bloody pulp. Literally, that's in the words of the Bible. It's a complete and utter victory for the nation of Israel. 300 soldiers routing these thousands and thousands of enemy bully soldiers. Gideon's story begins with him hiding out from these people. And now here he is leading his people into battle, commanding them, do exactly what I do. Follow my lead. Watch me. God, can you see the transformation of Gideon in this story? Am I the only one who sees it? Can you see this transformation? God has transformed Gideon from fearful and outcast to confident believer and leader of his people. The transformation has come about gradually in his story as we look back on this. It started privately. It started in his private conversations with God. Our journeys from hiding to the wine press to becoming a person who can tell others, follow me, watch what I do. Our journey, people, it happens in our private lives with Jesus, in our private prayer life, in our private time studying the Bible. It privately starts with God. And as we start having that private time with God and he starts reshaping and reforming our hearts, suddenly it starts spilling out into the public arena where we live our lives, where we go to work, where we go to school, the neighborhood, that people see something different in us. The workplace, people see something different in us. The community, people see something different in us. And what's happening in that private conversation internally with God as he's transforming me is suddenly coming out in my actions of love and mercy and being a peacemaker and being a person of kindness and being a person who's patient, being a person who watches their words. Oh my gosh, this is all what happens, but it starts in private like it did with Gideon, and it will start coming out in public. And now, in Gideon's story, it climaxes with this confrontation with Israel's arch enemies. And every step of the way, Gideon awkwardly steps forward into obedience and grows in faith. What I love about Gideon's story is it's our story. You know, because faith, choosing faith, becoming a person of faith, building our faith muscles, flexing our faith muscles, it's messy. It's a messy process. I don't know a single person who's gone through this process of becoming a follower of Jesus who said it was easy or it was all clean. It's hard. It's hard. It's messy. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we don't trust God the way we need to trust him. But God is patient with his people and God is wanting to work in your life. And so if you keep on stiff-arming God and saying, I don't have time for you right now, guess what? He's just going to be patient with you. He's going to wait for you. He can wait you out. He can wait us out. And as Gideon grows in faith, I think it's wonderful that as he grows in faith, he becomes the example to follow. Gideon becomes a role model for his people. He transforms into a role model for the whole nation of Israel. As his faith in God grows, he leads the people out from their hiding places to confront their problems. Because you see, Gideon wasn't the only one hiding in a wine press. He wasn't the only one. Everybody was living in wine presses. They were hiding out in caves. They weren't able to live a normal life because they had been bullied into submission. But as he steps out of the wine press and becomes this confident leader, he sets the example for all these other Israelites, his brothers and sisters, his tribe, to come out and be brave and to be bold also. Watch me. Follow my lead. Do exactly what I do. As we reflect on Gideon's faith journey, it challenges me personally with a couple of questions this morning. And I hope it challenges you with these same questions. Am I setting an example of faith? Am I setting an example of faith that other people can follow? Does my faith life, does my interaction with God, does my relationship with Jesus, is that something that's something that other people are influenced by? Am I setting an example of faith that others can follow? Does the way I live my life, is the way I'm living my life right now, is the way that I live my life this last week, does that point people to God? Is the way I'm going to live my life this next week, the choices I make, the words I choose, the attitudes I have, is the way I'm living my life, is that something that points people to God, or am I pointing them to somewhere else? Can people tell that I serve a God who's bigger than my bullies? Do I live in confidence and hope? Do you exude confidence, or do you exude timidity, fear, weakness? Am I influencing other people to make good faith choices? Am I being a spiritual role model for the people around me? If we literally applied, folks, if we literally applied, watch me, do exactly what I do, follow my lead. If we literally applied that to our lives, what kind of example would we be leaving in our wake for our children, for our spouse, for our grandchildren, for our brothers and sisters in our church, for our coworkers, for our other students at school, for my boss? Oh my gosh, Pastor, you mean I can influence my boss? What? Yeah. If we literally applied, watch me, follow my lead, do exactly what I do, what kind of example would we set? And you might say, Pastor, I am not a role model. I am not a role model. And I would, Family Feud, when they get the wrong answer, the big red X comes out. And you say, Pastor, I'm not a role model. I would go, wrong answer. Anybody remember Charles Barkley? Remember Charles Barkley and the Charles Barkley ad from the 1990s? And there was a big controversy. Like Colin Kaepernick, his Nike ad's a big controversy right now. Right, you've read about that. You've had to have heard about that in the news with Colin Kaepernick. Well, 20 years ago, it wasn't Colin Kaepernick. It was Charles Barkley, who was like this superstar National Basketball Association. He was a huge force in the National Basketball Association. National Basketball Association. I remember when Charles Barkley was in college, he played at LSU, and he was just like a human wall. He could block anybody from getting to the basket because he was so tall and so big. And he was just a tour de force on the basketball court. I can see some head nodding. Then that commercial, Charles Barkley made the comment, I am not a role model. I am not a role model. It was very controversial, and it started this huge debate. Are sports athletes role models in our society? That was the debate back then. Are sports athletes role models? And he was being, provocative by in this ad saying, I am not a role model. But I think the public debate kind of coalesced around the fact that, yeah, sports athletes, superstars, entertainers, they are role models. You can't tell me that they're not because the Kardashians are teaching millions of girls how to live their lives by living it on Snapchat and Instagram. You see it every day. They're role models. Celebrities, athletes, they're role models. Yeah, they're role models because they're having this outsized influence on how people behave. We dress like them. We act like them. We speak like them. They're role models. Sorry, they can deny it. They're role models. Charles Barkley, sorry, Chuck, you're a role model. Church, you're a role model. You are a role model. You say, Pastor, you might be a role model because you're the pastor. You're the pastor. And I'm going to turn right back around and say, yeah, I'm a role model. So are you. So are we. We are role models. And we've got to own that. We're all role models. We are all, every single one of us. I want you to see this morning, because I want to breathe a little bit of reality into your reality this morning. We're all role models, and you are influencing the people around you every day for good or for bad by the words you speak, the decisions you make, and the attitudes you carry around. We are all role models. Are we influencing for the kingdom of God? Are we being influenced by Christ and influencing the world for Christ? Or are we saying one thing and role modeling another as we go out and live our lives outside of this place? Where are we at on our faith journey? Gideon was on a faith journey. Are we struggling? Are you viewing trust issues as trust issues, or are they opportunities to trust God? God is looking for people who are willing to take the next step. God is looking for people who are willing to grow in faith. Do you want to grow in faith? Do we want to grow? Do we really want to grow in faith? God is looking for people to become role models of what it means to love God and to love others. We're on our own journey, folks. It's messy. I know, it's hard. Sometimes we mess up. But are we going to hang out in the wine press? Or are we moving into a place in our lives where we are ready and mature enough in our spiritual walk to recognize that it's time for us to pick up the mantle and tell other people around us, watch me, do what I do. Follow my lead. Follow my lead. We're all role models. And God is just trying to, he's woken me up through this study about how in our journey of faith is not just about trusting God, but it's about growing in our faith so that God can use us to lead and influence the people around us for the purposes of his kingdom. Are we lined up with that purpose this morning?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.